this class is very much needed because, again, we have to understand, guys, that each and every one of us has a jinn assigned to us, and that jinn's job is to tempt you to commit evil. And you have to remember, guys, that the closer that you get to Allah, the more shaitan will come and try to tempt you away from the righteous path. And how do you get close to Allah? By seeking knowledge of your religion. And many of you have been here for a while and have been consistent with all the classes, consistent with all the exams. And what do you have? You have shaitan in your life. Okay, so we have to understand, guys, it's a constant battle. Fighting against the shaitan is a constant battle until we die. And again, the closer you get to Allah, the more you learn about your religion, the more you have to deal and contend with the shaitan. Okay? There's also some people out there who are weak in their iman. People who are weak in their iman. These are people who are not too close with Allah. Okay? These are people who shaitan looks inside their heart, and he sees they're suffering from weakness of the heart, weakness of iman. So he tempts them to, for example, stop performing their salats. He tempts them to commit sins. These are people who are not seeking knowledge of their religion. So therefore, you know, they really fall to the shaitan and become his victims. And what we want to talk about today is for those of you who are suffering from weak iman, you know, things that you can do to try to pick your iman up. Again, this applies to those of us who are depressed in our lives. The women here at the website who we've been getting lately, who've been coming here talking about how depressed they are. Their marriage is miserable. Oh, I want to kill myself. I even had one of them. I want to kill myself. These people like this, these are people suffering from weakness of iman. And what you need to do is pick yourself up. Pick yourself up and knock that shaitan off of you. Okay? And the way to do that is by seeking knowledge of your religion. And one of the best things you can do if you are a person suffering from weakness of faith is to read the Quran. Because the Quran is a cure. Read the Quran. And don't just read it. You want to understand the meaning, comprehend the meaning. And we have one person who's been coming here, changing nicknames, but it's still the same person, who's been coming here complaining about how her life is depressing and she wants to commit suicide and she wants to do this. So I told her, read the Quran. So she comes to the website, listens to the Quran. I don't benefit. No, of course you don't benefit because you don't speak Arabic. So what you want to do is read the Quran, guys. Read the transliteration of the meaning. You cannot get any benefit from something if you don't understand the language. Hello. Of course you're not going to benefit from listening to Brother Ishtiak play the Quran here in Arabic. Because guess what? It's not your language. So what you need to do is read the English transliteration. Read the English transliteration of it so you can get some benefit from it. Okay? The Quran is a cure. It's a medicine. It has a medicine for all illnesses of the heart. Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, and we sent down from the Quran that which is a healing and a mercy to those who believe in Allah's oneness. So sit there and pick up your English transliteration and contemplate the meaning of those words. And you will be surprised how that'll cure you of that depression you're going through and that loneliness you're going through and that suspicion you're going through and all this other crazy stuff people are going through. The Quran contains many things in it. It contains Allah's promises. It contains His warnings. It contains His commandments. Okay? How can you practice Islam if you don't even know what the laws are? And this is the problem with a lot of these people who we have here who are suffering from weakness of iman. They have no understanding of this religion. They don't even know what's lawful and what's not lawful. They don't even know how to pray. They don't even know how to dress as a Muslim woman. They don't even know how to properly bathe themselves. Okay, so no wonder why you are sitting there a victim of the shaitan. You are just a Muslim in name only. It's important for you to seek knowledge of this religion. Taking shahada is just the first step to being a Muslim. Just because you took shahada does not mean that you now officially know all there is to know about Islam. You have to start learning about this religion, and the first thing you begin with is reading that Quran so you will know what's unlawful and what is. You wouldn't have to come here asking questions to embarrass yourself. You know, such as, can your husband have anal intercourse with you? If you read the Quran, you would know that answer. And then you wouldn't be embarrassed when the people here laugh at you and ask you where you've been. Because this is one of the first things you learn as a Muslim. You learn the haram, the things that are prohibited. Okay? So if you would pick up that book called the Quran, the Holy Quran, and start reading it, you will see that your life will change. Okay? So the Quran contains all the promises of Allah. It also contains His warnings. It also contains His commandments. It also contains stories of previous nations. If you picked up that Quran and read it, you would read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. How Allah destroyed these nations because they practiced sodomy, which is anal intercourse. You would know this if you would read that book called the Holy Quran. Okay? And also, the Quran gives us codes of the best conduct and the best behavior. The Quran tells us how to deal with the non-Muslims. You wouldn't have to come here asking questions about how do you deal with your neighbor who called you a terrorist. You would know how to deal with them. You would know how to deal with your ex-Christian friends. You would know how to deal with them if you would read that book, the Holy Quran. Because it tells us how to conduct ourselves, how to behave, and how to deal with others. You would also know how to dress as a Muslim woman if you read that book. Okay? The Quran also has some chapters in it which are more frightening than others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in regards to the 11th chapter of the Quran, that this is a chapter that everyone should read. And also the chapter of Nisa pertaining to the women. There are some surahs that are much more frightening than others. And then there are other surahs of the Quran, such as Surah Rahman, that you can read that will actually just make you fall down and just totally submit to Allah if you are truly a believer. So the best cure for people suffering from weakness of faith is not going to a kafir psychiatrist, because guess what? That psychiatrist can't help you. He's not going to tell you the reason why your life is depressing is because you don't pray, because you don't know how to dress, because you don't know anything about your religion. So the psychiatrist can't help you. Calling up somebody else and burdening some other woman with your problems as you sit up backbiting your husband, which I've warned you women about here, and this is what was one of the big problems at our website, while we got a bunch of fighting going on with some of my moderators, because there's people sitting here calling them up on the phone, telling them their personal problems, backbiting their husbands to my moderators, and my moderators have forgot how to tell women to go fear Allah. If you got problems in your marriage, go talk to your imam. Nobody here is your counselor. And we don't want to be a part of hearing what goes on in your personal life with your husband. Okay? So we have to understand, guys, that We have to read the Quran. The Quran is the cure for everything. If you read that book, you don't have to worry about backbiting your husband, wasting money with a psychiatrist. You will find that it's the best thing to heal you. Okay? If we reflect on the stories of the Sahaba, which everybody here should be aware of who the Sahaba were. If we reflect on their stories, the Sahaba were deeply moved with emotions whenever they recited the Quran. Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, for example, he was a very soft-hearted man. He used to cry while reciting the Quran and when leading the Muslims in Salat. Also, even Umar, radiallahu anhu, Umar, who was known for his harshness, even Umar would soften upon hearing the words, the verses of Allah. Okay? And there's one occasion when Umar used to cry. He was standing up making salat and he started crying. He kept reciting the story about Prophet Jacob. Even the other stories of companions such as Uthman, radiallahu anhu. Uthman would be moved. His heart would move to the point of tears whenever he would recite the words of Allah. And again, remember, we talked about how one of the ways in which you can tell that knowledge is beneficial to you is if it makes you cry. If it moves you to tears, then yes, it's beneficial. So we need to get back, guys, to living our lives the way the Sahaba did. Whenever they were depressed, they would pick up the Quran. When Umar was feeling down because he was often misunderstood, Umar, radiallahu anhu, was misunderstood by many except those close to him because he was harsh. The children used to run away from him. When the children would see him walking down the street, they would, take up and run. And this would make him sad. He said, why do they think I'm this terrible person? Whenever he would get depressed about his life, he would immediately go read the Quran. And that would pick him up. And he'd knock himself out of that depression. And that's the same thing Abu Bakr did, Uthman, and all the other Sahaba. We need to learn from them, guys. Learn from them and try to be more like them. So if you're having problems in your life, try reading the Quran. The English transliteration of Quran. I'm not talking about putting on some Arabic CD. And I'm not another thing here too, guys, we have to be aware of. Islam is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Plus, you have to have common sense. And that's what I'm seeing is the big problem with a lot of Muslims today. A lot of us lack common sense. We just don't have it. Common sense should tell you how can you benefit from something if you don't understand the words. Read the English. SubhanAllah. So at least you'll get an idea of what's being said. Okay? So that's one of the first things we can do to cure weak iman. Also, we have to understand, for those of us who are new to the religion, we get a lot of people who come here asking, okay, I'm a Muslim. I just took Shahada. What do I learn first? Do I start to learn about Shiites? This we had yesterday, a brother wanted to know, can he learn about Shiites and Sufis so he can see which group he belongs to? Okay? Or some people come and say, okay, I took Shahada. What do I do now? What's the first thing I should learn besides, of course, praying, how to make salat and stuff? What type of books should I start reading now? Should I start reading books written by famous scholars? Should I start reading fatwas from off the internet? This is a question we get a lot. Well, the first thing you should do is seek knowledge of the Quran. The Quran. That's the first thing you want to do. Again, how can you practice Islam if you don't know what the rules are? If you don't know what the laws are? If you don't know what things to stay away from? The first priority that you should give into learning about something in Islam is the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said trustworthiness. Trustworthiness was sent down in the depths of the hearts of the people. Then they learnt it from the Quran, and then they learnt it from the Sunnah. And this hadith is sahih. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us that trustfulness is learned from the Quran first and then the Sunnah. So that should tell you right there, the first thing you should learn is the Quran. How can you even call yourself a Muslim if you don't even know what it means to be one? Okay? And many great scholars of Islam have stated the same thing, such as Ibn Taymiyyah. Ibn Taymiyyah said, as for seeking to memorize the Quran, this is to be given preference over many of the things that the people consider to be knowledge, which are in reality totally useless. Because by memorizing the Quran, you thus acquire knowledge of this religion and its principles and its particulars. And that's very well said and very true. Again, the first thing you need to do for those of you who are new to this religion, concentrate on learning the Quran. Now, does this mean that you have to go to school and try to be a Hafiz? No. What does it mean that you have to sit up and try to memorize the Quran when you don't even speak the language? No, what we're talking about is learn it. Learn as much of it as you can and understand it. Understand the principles, the rules of Islam. Okay? We have to understand, guys, when it comes to seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is of levels and stages, just like anything else. You have to, before you learn how to walk, you crawl first. It's the same thing when it comes to seeking knowledge. You first start off with the Quran. Then you work your way up to the Sunnah. Then you go to the stories of the Sahaba, the stories of the Prophets, etc. It's a gradual thing. Okay? So we need to understand that seeking knowledge is of different levels and different stages. And we need to learn how to prioritize them. And again, if something is not of benefit to you, leave it alone. And we talked yesterday about how we can tell if knowledge is beneficial. If it betters your soul. If it betters your character. If it makes you become a better person, brings you closer to Allah, those are signs that it's beneficial. So for those of you new to Islam who come here, like we had yesterday, a brother asked a question. Is it okay for me to learn about the different sects of Muslims? The answer is this. Is that knowledge going to benefit you? Is it going to make you a better Muslim? Does it move you to cry to learn about the different sects and groups of division? Does it better your character? Does it bring you closer to Allah? The answer is no. So therefore, that should tell you it's not beneficial knowledge. However, if you were to pick up the Quran and start reading this, ask yourself the questions again. Does it move you? Will it make your character better? Will it give you better behavior? The answer is yes. So that should tell you this is beneficial for me to learn. Then we got people who come here and ask the question about politics. Can we talk about the political situation in Iraq? Can we talk about how America's going to hell? Can we talk about how we need to kill all Americans? Okay, again, is it going to make you a better person? Does it make you cry? Does it bring you closer to Allah? Is it going to lift you up? The answer is no. So that tells you this is knowledge that's not beneficial. Sitting around discussing the world politics is not going to do anything to make you better as a person or bring you closer to Allah. So that should tell you that type of knowledge is not beneficial. Instead of wasting your time debating about the politics of the world today, go read the history of Islam. Go read how the Sahaba took Islam out of Arabia and it spread throughout the world. By reading that, you will see that most of the people embraced Islam because they were impressed with the behavior of the Muslims. Okay, this is something that's beneficial. Okay? Also, there's a certain dua, and we talked about this before, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make to Allah. Again, remember guys, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to ask Allah for forgiveness at least 70 times a day. And he used to always make dua to Allah, asking Allah to better him. And he was a prophet, which meant he was incapable of committing sins like we do. And one of the infamous duas that the prophet used to say is, he used to say, "Oh Allah, benefit me with knowledge. Teach me that which will benefit me, and provide me with knowledge from which I can derive benefit." That's a dua that we all need to make every day. We need to ask Allah to benefit us with knowledge. Teach us those things which will be of benefit to us. If it's not of benefit to us, keep it away from us. And that's what we need to do. If many of us would start making duas like that, instead of wasting our time making duas asking Allah to please let my husband not marry another woman. Oh Allah, please bring my man back to me. Or, oh Allah, please give me a man. Instead of making crazy duas like that, we need to make duas which will benefit us. Because again, if you had knowledge of this religion, you'd be able to handle whatever situation comes in your personal life. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today, and because the next chapter in this book, which is the last chapter, it talks about how the Sahaba used to dislike giving religious verdicts. And I want to go into detail about that tomorrow, so I'm going to save that for tomorrow. Because this is another problem we have with Muslims. Muslims today, everybody wants to be a scholar. Everybody wants to be a star. But you have to understand, everybody can't be a scholar. Allah gives understanding of this religion to only a few, to those whom He chooses. But everybody wants to issue verdicts these days. So we're going to talk about the dangers of issuing verdicts. And we're going to talk about how the Sahaba, they hated giving verdicts. And they were more qualified than any of us here today to give them. Okay? So we're going to stop right here. If you guys have any questions, inshallah, I'll go ahead and ask them.